Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One and two, just in case.
We danced to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Are you listening?
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, music podcast born from a couple of friends trying to get each other listener records. Neither of them doing what they were said they were going to do by listening to those records. So we made a show to give each other records. And then we decided drafting things was cool, so we do some draft episodes. This is not a draft episode. I'm Brand. I'm here with my friend Scott, my co-Scott. Scott, what's up?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good. We're here to talk about one album today. Not a draft. One album.
Not a draft. Yeah.
Ringworm, Justice Replaced by Revenge.
Right.
Off top, I have to say, I had to struggle for some notes.
Okay.
There wasn't even a Wikipedia page for the record.
Oh my, okay.
Like the band has a Wikipedia page, but record did not.
Nothing as far as, like, when you went to discography, there was nothing, that no link.
No, there wasn't a link for any of their records, I don't think.
Oh, brutal.
They're still an active band.
Are they? Yeah. So, yeah, no, they don't even want to let you know what's going on with the record.
I think I fished enough up, and then I got our usual other records that came out and the charts. So I think we'll be able to take a little nice bite out of this, and we'll get there. But fantastic. I think there's some interesting stuff that you may have known in passing, but maybe didn't remember, things like that. So we'll get there.
Okay, cool.
So let's start off. Ringworm is an American metalcore band formed in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, wow. The armpit of America.
I think we have fans in Cleveland. Let's settle down. Do you have a guess on what year they formed?
I have no basis for this band at all. Like, I don't think I even heard of them until you told me about them.
And you don't even know when this record came out.
I have no idea when this record came out at all. I didn't even look at the date when I downloaded it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to base it on another band that I talk about in the notes.
Okay.
And I'm going to say formed in 92.
You're fairly close. Closer than I thought you were going to get. 1989.
Oh, okay. All right. That's surprising for the sound, but like I said, I kind of basing it off of somebody else I mentioned later on. Yes. And it kind of fits.
Well, also, I will put caveats on some of this information because I was zipping all over the internet to find some of this information. Oh, yeah. And not a lot of it was confirmed by each other. Like, I'd see one piece of information and then I would never see that piece of information again. So I don't know if it's true or not.
Okay.
But what I got, this is one of those pieces of information. The band started under the moniker Force of Habit and had one song on the Voice of Thousands compilation record released by Conversion Records in 1991.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that was their first recording.
Yes.
Or if, put out.
If that's yeah. them. If that's
if
them.
They, if that's them.
Ringworm themselves, like with the name Ringworm, released their debut yeah. album, The Promise, in 93 on Incision Records.
Okay. I have no idea what Incision Records is.
Me either.
Like, yeah, never heard of that label ever.
And they did self put out some demos and some splits here and there also. So like,
I wonder
they
if that's
just
a
stagnant
Cleveland based. Wonder if that's a Cleveland based label or something, like indie label.
They put out a couple of splits and demos, as I said, but not another album till 01.
Whoa.
When they put out Birth is Pain on Victory Records.
Oh, poor guys. Poor guy. Poor guys. Victory Records in 01. Ugh, man. I mean, it was huge at that time, but boy, did these bands get fucking taken for a ride.
I have a bit about Victory Records. A bunch of this information coming up came from like an interview / write-up I got from noecho.net.
Okay.
I never heard of it before, but it Me looked neither. Like some kind of, it's like a metal website, essentially, a metal hardcore
sure.
website.
Okay.
So in 01, Victory was transitioning into something that was almost unrecognizable to the 90s hardcore kids who considered the first three Victory style compilations quintessential releases. So if you recall, those 90s kids that loved Victory then, Victory was a hardcore label. Like
yeah.
there wasn't any thing about it. It was a hardcore label, period. So this is in that point of transition between that.
Right. We talked about it in our draft where like Hatebreed, the first Hatebreed record was one of the first big hits for Victory.
Hatebreed moved to a major label. Earth Crisis played their farewell show. Bloodlit and Strife were about to release their final albums, and Integrity were now using their Integra 2000 moniker. So it's an entirely different situation going on Victory
right.
Records at this time.
In 01, yeah.
In those bands' place, Victory signed more accessible acts like Atreyu, Taking Back Sunday, and Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
So those three acts and Ringworm.
Yeah, those were the glory days for us. But man, Ringworm does not really fit
yeah.
in that grouping.
The vocalist, the lyric writer, the producer sometimes, Human Furnace is his name. And I will refer to him as Furnace from here on out.
Gotcha. Okay. I think you mentioned that last week before we signed off. That's hilarious.
Furnace elaborates on how out of place Ringworm felt on the label by saying, quote, "Maybe when we first got on Victory, we had a little more in common with what the label was about as far as the other bands on the label. But then all those bands were gone, and I don't think they knew what to do with us."
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely feel that, especially with the class they were coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
With your Taking Back Sundays, your Atreyu Thursday, Ringworm, like I said just a minute ago, they just don't fit in with that grouping. Yeah.
Well, despite being label oddballs, Ringworm released four full lengths on Victory Records.
Whoa.
This being the second. Justice Replaced by Revenge
okay.
is their second on Victory.
So early 2000s.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Human Furnace does think that their sound may have made it difficult for the label to properly market them. Quote, "We always seemed too hardcore for metal and too metal for hardcore."
Yeah. I don't know if I actually wrote that in the notes, but man, yeah, they straddle that line between the two and they bounce back and forth a lot.
He elaborates on their sound here and tell me this is not a dude that understands exactly what he's doing, like the exact
okay.
pinpoint. Quote, "If you look at the songs that we play and what we're about, 70-80% of our songs are mostly just thrash. Very fast, very thrashy, and then you got some breakdowns. When you play a hardcore gig, everyone just stares at you the whole set and waits for the one riff so they can spin around in circles and crowd kill. And I'm not really about that. So when you play a metal show and you play those thrash riffs and the headbanging riffs, metalheads really respond to that, and it's a super fun thing."
Yeah, that's funny. Because he's right about the hardcore kids. Like, everybody stands there, stares, waiting for the breakdown. And then, yeah, once a breakdown happens, the pit goes nuts. And yeah. the metal shows that it's super funny because, yeah, the thrashers just like to sit there and headbang to the riffs. And man, he's about it on this record, at least.
So Justice Replaced by Revenge released January 17th, 2005.
Oh, okay. So mid-2000s. Gotcha.
Mid-2000s. 05.
Yeah. All right.
As you know, if there's no other evidence of this, we can take this year. January's, I don't think, are good for new releases. It's very sporadic.
They're very sparse. Yeah. I think bands usually kind of like the mid-months of the year. I've had some luck the last couple of Januaries, I think a couple of them ended up making my lists at the end of the year, like Pink put out her record. Trust Fall came out in January or early February, something like that, but it was super early. There's been a few that at the Plates record this year already. I'm still jamming to that thing. I love that thing. I do.
Searching the albums that came out in January for this, it was a bit of a reach.
There also
might be some or many artists on there that you have listened to and love, and I've never heard of them because there's so many, but I don't know. So I pulled out a bunch. We'll see what we got here.
Sure.
On January ? We don't know. This came out in January sometime.
That's such a bummer. I hate it when that happens.
4 Year Strong put out It's Our Time. You a 4 Year Strong guy?
I've never really listened to them, I don't think. I think they were that pop punk wave that was after I was into it.
I think they were a little, I don't like this phrase, they're a little rockier though. Like they sound like more of a bass rock band than they do pop punk to me.
Gotcha.
I listened to this one, I don't really remember it, but I definitely listened to another one by them and I didn't hate it. But
yeah,
it didn't really stick around.
I think I might have listened to a record by them, but it was kind of forgettable. Like it was so kind of like generic that it didn't hold on to me at all.
I also think that, as you said, with the pop punk waves, I think they may have came out in between waves. Like they were just one of those weird, like, just, okay, this is out. All right.
Yeah. They're kind of like, I kind of put them in the same class as like Neck Deep. I didn't get into those dudes either.
Neck Deep feels later. Like,
is it later? Okay.
A bunch later to me, but I could be wrong. Gotcha. I don't think I know when the first Neck Deep record came out. So,
like, I know their name, and that's about it.
Moving on to January 1st, we have Macklemore.
Oh, no.
With The Language of My World.
I mean, we all know Macklemore. I don't know that at all. Was that after the heist?
No. Way before.
Before Grammy Award winning rap album of the year, The Heist.
This is 05. He wasn't putting Thrift Shop out until 09?
Somewhere around there? I couldn't remember.
Well, just to be clear, there is a song on this record called White Privilege.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And the penis song, where it's basically, it sounds like a comedic YouTube video from the early thousands about rapping how he just wishes his penis was bigger.
Oh my God. Grammy Award winner, folks. Grammy Award winner, Macklemore.
I went and listened to it, a little bit of it, and I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Oh, I heard the title and I'm good. I don't think I need to hear that.
Also January 1st. This one was one for me. I checked this one out.
Okay.
Death Before Dishonor put out Friends, Family, Forever.
No idea who they are.
Kind of like a beat-down hardcore band, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
Moving on to January 6th, everybody's favorite date.
Okay.
The band Hard and Firm put out their only record, Horses and Grasses.
No idea. Never heard
now
of it.
Now, it's Hard, spelled normal, N, Firm, P-H-I-R-M. You've never heard of that?
Not ever once.
It is Chris Hardwick and Mike Furman's comedic band together.
Oh my. Okay.
And this was their record that they put out. Apparently they do a medley of interpreted Radiohead songs in like rodeo style, and they call it like Rodeohead.
Oh no.
That was like their big hit. I don't know if it was on this, but that's something they did. So there you go.
Interesting.
January 11th, Creator put out Enemy of God. I feel like Creator has just been putting metal records out since maybe the beginning of time.
Right.
And they don't stop. Every time we do this, I feel like there's a Creator record on there. And I've listened to maybe two Creator records in my entire life.
Never once have I listened to one.
They probably started in the early 80s. Oh, they did form in 82.
Whoa. They are 41 years old.
Well, they have just kind of consistently been putting records out every couple of years.
Yeah.
16 records.
Doing a Creator draft.
I think they're mostly thrash. Like they're like a German thrash band.
Gotcha.
I think they had a hit. Like they had one fairly big hit, but I wouldn't be able to pull what that is.
I have no idea. Yeah. Creator with a K?
Yeah. Maybe not. Satan is real. First one. No,
that's not a hit. That's not a hit.
And then like Hail to the Hordes, People of the Lie, Riot of Violence. Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, probably not.
Good for Creator.
Keep it going.
Coming out January 18th. Finally, we hit one. This is what I mean. There's a few in January. They're like, oh, yeah, man. Can't believe that came out. It's a good one. I know we both listened to it. The documentary by The Game.
Oh, yeah. That was a solid record.
Really good record.
I think that's the only one by him that I ever listened to.
Okay. Yeah, I think we talked about that because I thought about bringing LAX to you at some point. Because I like LAX a lot.
Okay.
By the way, when this is kind of off topic, but I saw a Instagram video of LeBron like rapping in the back of a car, not like his own raps, like singing along to some raps.
Sure.
And he put up, and with his beard, I thought it was The Game for, I don't know, all of 30 seconds while I was watching it. It was weird.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
He was rapping along to Stove God, like Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, okay.
And
but
I was
looking
like
The Game.
I was like, wow, Game really likes Stove God. Sick. And then I was like, wait, that's LeBron. All right. Okay.
That's funny.
And then, okay. And it made me kind of like LeBron even more, but you know, whatever. What does that's LeBron funny. Know about, you know, yellow tape, purple tape? You know, we don't
know. I mean, he might.
You think LeBron was cooking on the stove?
No, but he could have been listening to Ghostface.
That's fair, but he wasn't. Does he know anything about Ghostface Killers in the Rafe? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Moving on to January 18th, from a record that both of us listened to another record that, well, neither of us listened to.
Good.
Fozzy put out All That Remains.
Is that the Chris Jericho band?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I actually listened to a Fozzy record once. What was the name of that one?
All That Remains.
I have no idea if that was it, but oh no, probably not. It was probably earlier when I was watching wrestling more. I actually don't watch it anymore at all, but when I was watching it, I remember. I feel like Fozzy played at WrestleMania or something, and I was like, "What is Jericho doing?"
That sounds like something he would try to do. That sounds exactly like something Jericho would do.
Yeah.
Moving on to January 24th, and the Chemical Brothers put out "Push the Button."
Not a Chemical Brothers guy.
You're a big Chemical Brothers guy.
Really, really not a techno guy at all.
Also, January 24th, I listened to this one. I remember nothing about it other than the cover. Dark Tranquility put out Character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't remember the record at all, but I remember downloading it and I remember the cover. January 25th, this one band put out two records.
On the same day?
That's what it said on this website. It seemed weird to me, but that's what it said. So we have I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning and Digital Ash in a Digital Urn by Bright Eyes.
Yep. They did come out on the same day. I remember I got them both on CD. I love I'm Wide Awake and It's Morning. I did not like Digital Ash.
That's their big one, right?
I think I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning is one of their big ones, yeah. Yeah, it's super. Actually, I think that might be the one I was thinking about bringing you. Yeah, I like it. It's really good.
Well, a little foreshadowing there.
Yeah.
Also, January 25, I didn't know this existed, and I'm going to go check it out almost immediately.
Oh.
It is a collab record, Paul Wall and Chameleonaire.
Oh, wow.
Controversy Sells. So I don't know if they were having beef, and then they put this record out together. I don't know. But I'm interested.
I think if anybody would have known about that, it would have been you. I would have swore up and down.
I was definitely big on Paul Wall. In 05, maybe not. Paul Wall was kind of out by 05. He was like seen as corny, I think, in 05. And he's come back around, and I like the Paul Wall resurgence. And then I recently listened to a Chamillionaire record, a newer one. Nope. It was the classic one. It was one with Riding Dirty on it, and it is fucking great. Like Chamillionaire, somehow, somebody, he did somebody wrong somewhere because he deserved a bigger career. Don't get me wrong.
He dropped off the face of the planet.
Riding Dirty was huge.
It was huge. And then nothing then after that.
Nothing. And I wonder what happened because it's interesting. Right. Two left. You may know both of them. On January 25th, 7 Seconds put out Take It Back, Take It On, Take It Over.
I don't know that one. I know Seven. Oh, no. I think that's the black and white cover.
I think most of their records are black and white.
I know. I think so, too. But I think I know the one you're talking about. I might even own it on vinyl. Now I got to check my Discogs because I think I own it. Nope, I don't. I think I might have before.
And you sold it off?
I was going to say, getting rid of it seems like an odd move for me, though.
Especially because I don't feel like the demand for that wouldn't have been there. Like, it's not like somebody's begging to buy that.
Yeah.
All right, well, last one for albums, January 2005. The Street Dogs put out Back to the World.
I'd have to look at the cover for that. I do know the Street Dogs. They're Dropkick Murphys-ish.
Yeah, street punk from Boston, I believe.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about where they're from.
I do know that record. I had the CD. Yeah. I like these dudes.
They're Street good. Dogs were from Boston, so
confirmed. Yeah.
Oh, do you know why they're Dropkick Murphys? I didn't know this. Because they were formed in 02 by former Dropkick Murphys singer Mike McColgan.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense as to why they sound like Dropkick Murphys.
That checks out more than anything I've ever looked up on the internet.
100%.
Weird, I didn't know that. I listen to Street Dogs quite a bit. That record a lot, and I didn't know that.
I know the one after that a bit better, but I know that. Yep.
Let's get into the Billboard charts here, Scott. You want the Hot 100 or the 200 first? What do you want?
Let's do the 100 because I'm never good with singles.
Okay. Billboard Hot 100, week of January 22nd, 2005. So the Ringworm record would have been out at this point.
Okay. Gotcha.
Spoiler alert. It did make the charts.
Oh, damn it. I was kind of hoping.
At number 5, Destiny's Child, Soldier.
Oh, man.
Do you remember who featured on that? Because
I don't know that song at all.
You've heard Soldier. I know you've heard Soldier.
Okay.
It was one of Destiny's Child's big hits. But the features on it, T.I. And Lil Wayne.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know Destiny's Child so much that I didn't know they had rappers featured on any of their songs.
Okay.
That kind of takes me by surprise, especially like knowing weren't they supposed to be like super Christian good girls?
I think the media may have pitched them like that, but they had some sexy songs in there once in a while.
Okay. I for real know barely anything but Beyonce and Kelly Rowland were in Destiny's Child.
You can't name the third?
There's no chance. Nope.
There were four at one time, but We don't really talk about the other one.
Oh, we don't? Was there a falling out?
No, nobody else does either. Nobody seems to care. Nobody really seems to care about Michelle Williams either, by the way. That's the third one, Michelle Williams.
Oh, okay. no idea.
All right, so number 4 on the Hot 100, week of January 22nd, 05. Drop It Like It's Hot.
Snoop Dogg. Drop It Like It's Hot. Drop It Like It's Hot. Drop It Like It's Hot. Yeah, we all know that one.
This answers the question from a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago at this point, of was that a Pharrell song or a Snoop Dogg song? It was a Snoop Dogg song.
Right. Gotcha. Yep.
At number 3, Lovers and Friends by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys featuring Usher and Ludacris.
Oh, wow.
What a powerhouse. Okay. That's what Atlanta crazy... Central.
Yeah. That's A-Town doing it big just on that one track.
This is like, would this be Yeah 2.0, I guess? Because when did Yeah come out?
That was on, wasn't that on Usher's record? Yeah.
Oh, no, it's definitely Usher's song. I'm just wondering if this is them trying to redo that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, this is a year after. Yeah, came out in 04, okay. It looks like.
Yeah.
Moving on to number two, Hot 100.
Number two.
1-2-Step, Ciara featuring Missy Elliott.
No idea. I don't know that song. Let me see you
1-2-Step. I love it when you 1-2-Step. What a banger.
That doesn't ring any bells.
Banger from Ciara there. Bang.
I believe it. I mean, it was number two, so somebody loved it.
At number one, Hot 100. Let me Love You by Mario or Mario. I don't know which way his pronunciation is.
How crazy. Because I have no idea what the top two are, but like 3, 4, 5, I at least had an idea.
I don't know one or three. I don't know. If I heard Let Me Love You, maybe I would know it. Because I know I've seen Mario's name everywhere, but I've never once been like, I'm putting on Mario.
Right. It's Mario time.
And then I'm sure I probably heard that Lil Jon and East Side Boys, Usher and Ludacris track, but I don't recall it at all.
Right.
And then we have two of the two longest on the chart here, both at 31 weeks.
Oh, okay.
At number 26, we have Goodies by Ciara featuring Petey Pablo. So Ciara is just destroying charts at this point.
She's killing it.
And then at number 48, a song we love to talk about, at least I love to talk about, Lean Back by the Terror Squad.
You do love that song.
Big fan.
Love that song. Yeah.
Big fan of that song. So let's move on now to the Billboard 200 week of January 22nd, 2005.
Here we go.
At number five, The Red Light District by Ludacris.
Okay. Luda.
It's one of his records that I don't know if I ever listened to the full thing.
I don't know that I have either.
I downloaded it. So I've definitely listened to some songs, but I don't think I've listened to the whole thing.
I think I went through his whole discography at one point, so I might have listened to it once all the way through, but it would have been back to back to back to back that I listened to it, so I wouldn't be able to pick it out from anything. I just know it wasn't on Chicken and Beer.
It was not. Or, like, what was the sex one? The big sex?
Oh, the one with the brown cover?
I know Theater of the Mind was a big one. I liked that one a lot. But I think, no, the brown cover's Theater of the Mind. The purple one was the sex one. Unless I'm thinking of the single cover. I might be thinking of it a single cover. Nope, it's a different record. I don't know. Maybe Ludacris draft coming at some point.
Oh, let's do that.
At number four, we have Get Lifted by John Legend.
Okay. Nope. I don't think I've ever listened to a full John Legend record.
Not even a Christmas record? That feels off-brand for you.
Nah, I don't. Nope. Never did. Okay. So maybe it is a bit off brand for me, but yeah, never. I don't think I ever did.
At number three, Crunk Juice, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
There you go. That's you.
Obviously. Well, it's me, but it isn't me. Like, I liked watching it, but it was like too shiny of that Southern hip hop for me. Like, it was too flashy.
Oh, okay.
Like, I wanted the dirtier stuff, and I got the dirtier stuff.
At the time. But, you're a big flashy guy now, though.
I still like the dirty music, though. I'm all about flash. Yeah, sure. I like the dirty. At number two, Encore by Eminem.
There we go. There's something I was listening to, at least. I don't know. That might have started the downfall for him with me, though. I think I liked Eminem Show, but I think the downfall came with Encore.
And then you loved Relapse.
I did not love Relapse. I liked Recovery. Marshall Mathers Recovery 2 was the one I liked. Marshall Mathers 2 was forgettable.
Okay. Well, speaking of downfall, Scott. At number one, American Idiot by Green Day.
Oh, wow. That's a rough one to swallow.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough. Yeah. I remember it coming out. I remember being slightly excited for it to come out because there was talk about it being a punk rock opera.
And it was.
And it was. Man, it was brutal.
It wasn't for me. Like, I promise you that.
It was. I didn't enjoy it. But I did see him on tour for that record. That was the one where I think Emily and I met Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World at that tour. Yeah, what a fall from grace Green Day had with me on that record.
I may still continue the tradition at this point where I'll revisit it every 5 years. And man, it is
just be disappointed over and over and over again.
Yeah. And that's, and also like pre that, Green Day was never, I was never like, I didn't hate Green Day, but Green Day was never like my favorite band or anything. So it's not like I had a bunch leading into it, but yeah, I had so many people tell me to revisit it and listen to it. And I do it about every 5 years and I still get nothing out of it. So
yeah, we'll see. Green Day, they weren't ever my favorite band, but I liked them a lot. Like, I mean, of course, Dookie was most people's like entryway into Green Day. It was mine too, because it came out in like 94. I was like 12. So I didn't listen to their first two records until after Dookie. But like Dookie, Insomniac, Nimrod, Warning. I liked all those, but you could see their transition happening into more of a real just rock kind of band, no longer punk really. And then American Idiot hit, and I was just like, oh, this is not what
that
I'm here
might
for.
Be the biggest problem I have is American Idiot is just a rock album.
Yeah,
but
it's not punk.
it has so much punk makeup on it that it's hard. Yeah. Like even the lyrical content is punk, but the music isn't.
It just doesn't fit.
Maybe if I listened to it as a rock record, I could maybe get something out of it, but that's not for another 3 years.
I would say that, and like, but the storyline doesn't really do it for me as far as like an opera, a rock opera, punk rock opera, whatever. It just doesn't work. Like, I can't say that it's going to disappoint me every time I listen to it because I already think it's kind of crap. Mm-hmm. The only way it would disappoint me is if I actually liked it the next time I listen to it.
Well, we'll see. We'll check back in 3 or 4 years and we'll give you an
update.
3 or 4 years.
Sure.
Longest on the charts, coming in at 97 weeks.
97 weeks.
At number 95. So still in the top 100.
Yeah.
Fallen by Evanescence.
Oh.
Huge record.
We listened to that for our 100 list last year. And I said I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Amy Lee's voice is incredible. I think without Amy Lee, that band sucks. But that's kind of unfair, I think.
Yeah. I remember the big hit with the guy who kind of rapped or tried to. And I remember that being like the worst song on the record.
Yeah.
But it was a huge hit. Yeah. It just didn't, like, he didn't work for the song. The rapping didn't. I mean, it wasn't really rapping. It just didn't work.
It's new metal time, Scott.
I know, but boy.
Actually,
I wasn't
it feels late
it.
New metal times. Well, no, because if 95 weeks, 97
that's
weeks.
Almost two that's, years.
Yeah, so you minus 2 years off this, you're in new metal times. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I don't recall the numbers on it or where it was, but the second or third longest on this chart was Switchfoot's Beautiful Mistake. And I know you like
that record. I did like that record. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I did like that record a lot.
Well, Scott, we covered the minimal Ringworm information I had.
Right.
We covered the charts. We covered other records coming out the same time as this record, released January 17th, 2005. This record, Ringworm, Justice Replaced by Revenge, 13 tracks.
Yeah.
A whopping 27 minutes, Scott.
So quick. So quick.
We've already talked more on this episode than the record is long.
Right. We have.
So you just want to dive into this thing with the opening track, the title track, Justice Replaced by Revenge.
I have, oh man, this is a lot more hardcore feeling than I thought it was going to be based on cover art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having too much of a problem with deciphering these lyrics, but I'm for sure missing some words here and there. I'll go back and listen while following along on Genius. We are the fruit of a nation that's diseased is such a great line. This breakdown is nasty. I also love the change up in the chorus from now we see there's one choice to now we see there's no choice. It's a great opener.
I guess I could have said this up front. When the way I discovered this record was at a music store, and I saw the cover art when it came out, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. And then I went over to one of the little listening stations, put the
listening
barcode
stations
under there, put the barcode under there, put the things on. As soon as I heard that like first lick of that first song, I probably just took the headphones off, put them back, and walked right up to the register.
Yeah, nope. I need the rest of this to be a surprise for me. Thank you.
Because in 05, man, that first track would have blown my socks off. And it would have been, it would have still been different than everything I'm listening to. But I think at that point, I just wanted like ferocity and just abrasiveness. And you get all that.
Oh, yeah. For sure. When you were debating on what to give me, you said there was like a softball one for me. You said there was one I might like, one I might not like. What was this record?
It was okay. There was, it wasn't a softball. It was one that I think you might like, or I think you might like or hate, and one I think you'll hate. And this was the one I think you might like or hate. This wasn't the one I
think. This is the in the middle one.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
The other one still is, it's still batting around there, but I don't know. We'll see at some point.
All right. I was curious when while I was listening to it this week, I was like, I wonder what he thinks I think of this.
Well, I warned you of the vocals before we ended the last episode. And that was the main thing I needed, because I didn't need you going in, because I mean, it's right off rip. You get those vocals right off rip, and that's what you're getting. Like, it's, they don't play games. They don't play games. It's a very hardcore style of delivery, basically, where once you hear what the vocals are, that's what the vocals are.
That's like,
They're not playing games. They're not doing anything else with it. That's kind of what you're getting.
Right. Human furnace.
The human
furnace. Spit and fire.
That's right. Moving on to track two, No One Dies Alone.
Dude, this is like darker, more evil sounding version of a New York hardcore brother anthem. For real, if we mixed up Mayhem and H2O, this is what you'd get. This is amazing.
It's awesome. They do say that they take hardcore metal and then they do incorporate like the like first wave black metal and shit like that in there.
You can hear it.
And I think that's why another reason why I love this so much is because everything that I was diving into, everything that I was listening to, this is just, it's like this album just rolled. This album was a snowball and it just rolled down a hill, collecting all that shit going down the hill.
Right.
So like there's little bits of that all through this and I loved it, but I can also acknowledge the way it sounds to a layman and the way it may sound to somebody not anticipating any of that. So like, that's why I had to give it, I had to like give it to you with a little asterisk with it. Be like, all right, just remember this is, you know, this is this.
But, oh yeah.
If we're saying it too, this is incredible. I'm in.
Yeah.
So let's move to track three, Seeing Through These Eyes.
Man, this band is such an odd amalgamation of so many different things and genres that I love. There's this hardcore vocal delivery, the dark and evil kind of vocals in the lyrics, the massive breakdowns, the wild guitar solo that's very reminiscent of heavy metal, the punk rock track length. This is pretty fantastic so far.
After I like re-dove into it, this is one of those records where I probably do revisit every year or so. Like I'll hear something, or like the word justice or the word revenge. We'll get to the track, but like death is not an option. That's in my head real heavy.
Sure.
But I'll hear something and then I'll just be like, I'll throw that on. And then I'll see it's only 27 minutes. And I'll be like,
Yeah. For the length of an episode of Friends. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yes. And I'll enjoy it more.
Right.
No, when I revisited it this time, like for the show, and I realized now that I'm, because the last time I revisited, I probably wasn't super, I knew what thrash was, but there wasn't much thrash I enjoyed. So like we've covered some thrash and I've listened to some thrash new releases and some other things here and there. So I'm a little better with thrash now. And when I heard how thrashy this was, I know you like fast guitars. I know you like thrashy stuff to a point. Like you're not like the thrash guy, but you
But I enjoy it. Yeah.
So at that point I was like, well, if the basis of this record is mostly thrash, even if he doesn't like the breakdowns, even if he doesn't like the vocals, he's going to find something. So I was hopeful for it after listening to it myself. So moving on to track four, House of Hell.
Oh man. First off, that opening line, heartless, this well of souls is black and bottomless, is an amazing internal rhyme. And such a desolate scene setting. Fucking wild. This band was formed by some dudes sitting down and thinking, what would a Slayer and Cro-Mags baby sound like? The answer is amazing.
You've thrown two combinations together that are both equally as right. And it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. Because, that's what it is. But
I mean, that's what it is.
This would be impressive if a band did this today. And they were doing this in 05.
Right. And possibly in 91. We just have to go find that track by the other band name.
Yeah. Or their first record in 93. I've never listened to their first record, so I don't know what it sounds like.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Moving on to track 5, Day of Truth.
Oh man, I felt that line, your turn to be as useless as I feel. Wow, that was an instant strong feeling. It's pretty wild how many feelings can be punched into a 3-minute hardcore metal song. This thing is nuts.
You said feelings also, and I think that probably plays into it. At the time, I wasn't listening to much to give me feelings other than anger or other than
get violence. Get out the aggression.
And this gave me that sonically while also exploring some other feelings in here, which...
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think this record may be more instrumental in what I enjoy than I have been led to believe.
It doesn't give enough credit for your feelings.
Yeah, I don't think so. But man, did I love this record. And I love that, like you did with a lot of your records and like most people did for years... One I discovered with nothing. Like there was nobody told me to listen to it. Nothing was like, hey, you should check this out. Just
man, it's the greatest feeling.
Seeing a record, picking it up, testing it, be like, oh yeah. And then literally listening to it forever. I may still have the CD. I have my CD book and it may be one of the CDs I still have.
That's awesome.
But I do own it on vinyl. I did purchase it on vinyl. So
So it's out there. It's out there.
Moving on to what had to surprise you, because it even surprises me even now in the middle of this record.
Yeah.
Track 6, Whiskey Drunk.
Yeah. After reading this title, I was so glad that it's a short little mostly acoustic instrumental. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to force reality into my super dark, evil dream world I'm in right now. Love the guitar layering on this. Super good. I didn't want like a Southern rock drunk dude anthem going on. And when I saw the title was Whiskey Drunk, I was like, oh no, you're going to fucking ruin it. And then it was just like this instrumental in the middle of everything and super, I mean, the whole record is super short, but like a quick little acoustic guitar driven electric creepy guitar in the background. And it just like it fit perfect. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like it was about to go way downhill. I felt based on the title and it didn't. And I was so grateful.
It lets you lean back in your seat a little bit. Like you're not having to grab the dashboard at that moment. Like you're able to like, okay, hold on. Like you're able to sit back, put your hands on your head for a second.
Let me take a breath.
Take a breather. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, I had already listened to, well, we covered it for the show, 1919 Eternal, Black Label Society.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was reminiscent to me of like Speedball, when he's just doing some weird guitar work in the middle of a record. Right. Now, did that Black Label record need that little let off the gas as much as this did? No, not even close.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought about. And then compound it with this doing it. Made those okay in records for me before. Okay. I would have just skipped this, be like, what gets bullshit out of here? I don't want this, but
Oh,
hold on. Here we are. Take it in.
Yeah. And it also helps that it's just a quick little ripper.
Yeah. But I mean, put it this way, when your record's only 27 minutes, if you got a 1 minute acoustic instrumental track, that's a fair chunk of your record.
That's true. That is true.
Moving on to track 7, God Eat God.
More dark imagery, scene setting, war between God and the devil stuff going on in this one. There's a wicked bass line in the instrumental break on this track that is phenomenal. Really good shit. Like, really good. I wasn't paying attention to the bass at all in this record until that. And man, it just sounded so good.
Sometimes it's hard to pay attention to the bass when Human Furnace is blasting his flames at you.
It's true.
By the way, after you heard his voice and you were like, oh, Human Furnace, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. He's like the furnace in Home Alone in the basement.
I was thinking of the furnace in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
The big stove guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying. That's funny. Still terrifying to this day.
Awful.
Moving on to track 8, Ghosts of the Past.
Love the backwards tracking to start off the song. Super mysterious. Makes me wonder what was being said, but I don't really want to know. You don't know how far you don't know how far you've gone until you've left something behind. Just a wild line. Now that my ear has become attuned to the bass, I can't miss it. It's so good.
See, here's the problem.
There's a million members.
There's a bunch of members, and they don't even have that chart that shows you who was during when.
Oh, the timeline chart?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And it, like, if I look at former, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bassists.
Oh, wow.
Not including the new one, like the one that's in the band now.
A new one for every record.
Potentially, but I mean, Human Furnace is there. That's all we really care about, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he's the only, like, consistent member.
So moving on.
Yeah.
To track 9, Thrive.
Wow, we get these incredibly deep and personal lyrics in the middle of these dark and evil scenes of songs. Makes me kind of worried about this guy. Also kind of makes me wonder about my past self. Like, if I ever really looked at things so bleakly. Then we get this, we get the second verse, and it feels like the tendencies are canceled out and we're back stronger than ever. It's a crazy inward look on yourself in this song, and I thrive in here. Like that line, it just like it made me feel so, I don't know, it just made me feel so much better. Like, because the start of this song is so bleak and talking about suicide and stuff, and then you just get that build up at the end where you kind of turn around. And I thrive in this darkness, in this bleak headspace, but I'm still here. Like, I'm not going away. I thrive in here.
I'm going to be honest. When I gave you Ringworm, I didn't expect, like, a lot of feeling to be part of it.
Yeah, there's so much feeling in this record.
I'm glad it is.
So much, yeah.
Moving on to track 10, Devil's Kiss.
I have written down, fuck, I just figured it out. These dudes are the goth blackened death metal cousins of Hatebreed.
So another amalgamation that you figured out.
Yeah. Not really much to say about this track in particular. It's an album cut. Not bad, but nothing really stands out. Except, is this the first song they cussed on this record?
I can't confirm.
I think it is.
I don't know.
I think it is, and which is wild because I think when I went to download this off air, I was like, there's a clean version and like a parental advisory version. I'm going to download the explicit one. But then like listening through it, what, I would have missed out on one fuck in the whole record.
Yeah. Hey, that fuck's important though. I guess that fuck's very important.
It just surprised me because I also didn't realize it.
When you have the vocals coming at you in the manner that Human Furnace delivers them, every word kind of feels like a cuss word.
It's true.
Moving on to track 11, Death Is Not an Option.
These guys have a niche and it is magnificent. This dark hardcore is fantastic. The ending chaos is so great. Good shit, man. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board. At number 12, track 12, No More Heroes.
I really like to switch up in the lyrics. There's no more heroes left for me with the for me echo. And then for you. And the echo, and then for us, echo, and there's no more heroes left. Really well done with that chorus. Like, just the sonics of it really did it for me on that one.
And then the closer, track 13, Life After the End of the World.
Love it. I also love the syllable breakup at the start of this track. I don't know how much more praise I can give this record. It's amazing. I really enjoyed my time with this thing. Is the rest of the band's discography like this record?
I listened to, they put a record out last year, and I listened to that, and it was good. I liked it quite a bit.
Okay.
I think I listened to their 2019 record also, but I can't say for sure. Other than that, I don't think I listened to their whole discography. I think 2019 and 2023 are the two that I dove into, but then they have,
okay,
they have 2016, 2014, EP in 2013, 2012, a split in 2011, a full length in 2011, 2007, obviously this was 2005. They did a split with Terror in 2003, and then their debut was 2001.
Okay.
But I have not listened to all of their discography. I do know that the title track, Justice Replaced by Revenge, is their most like popular, most famous track, if you will.
Oh, okay.
And just a little fun fact, a little piece for you here about Life After the End of the World. Okay. The song Life After the End of the World from the band's album Justice Replaced by Revenge was featured in the 2016 animated film The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, the part where the little dog is like headbanging. Listen,
yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Do you know how deep of a metalhead that the whoever's on that like
for real
soundtrack like, would have to be to pull this?
Ringworm is that dude's favorite band.
Has to be.
Has to be. Because there's no way you're just pulling it from nowhere,
right?
Because then you would have gone with something like Slayer or something. Like you would have thrown Metallica on there or something. But like that dude was like,
although
you know what, I need to get.
Which one do you think cost more?
No, very true. but this dude was like, I want to get Ringworm some residuals, bro.
100%.
Let's get them a payday. They deserve it.
It's pretty excellent.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, man, I want to go back and watch that movie now.
What is your top three here? I'm going to guess your number one's Thrive.
If 100% it is, yep.
Okay. I don't have a two or three guess.
Okay, I was going to say, you're going to take a stab at my other two? But no, Thrive is my number one for sure. No One Dies Alone is my number two. And then Ghosts of the Past is my number three.
Oh, so you're not even like segregated on this record. You're just bound all over it.
All over it. Yeah.
I personally, and this is probably from my music ADD that I had then, I have a lot more connection to Side A just because I would have listened. Like, even though it's 27 minutes, it would have been like, oh yeah, let's run through seven tracks and we're done.
Right. Yeah.
But Death Is Not an Option jumped in there. Death Is Not an Option is probably my two.
Okay.
Justice Replaced by Revenge is probably my one, the title track, because I do love that song. And then I'll join you. No One Dies Alone is probably my three.
Yeah, it's a good song.
The first four of this thing, I could just play on repeat and enjoy that because I love the beginning of this record.
Yeah.
Man, so I'm glad the success we got. But let me ask you the question, Scott. Ringworms, Justice Replaced by Revenge, Throne, Own, Phone, or Groan?
It's a throne for this
dark amalgamation.
Evil, hardcore, like, surprisingly uplifting at points. The amount of feelings I got off of this thing just was not expected. When I looked at the cover, I definitely wasn't expecting what I got here. And then what I got was such a crazy just mixture of so many things I love. And then, you throw feelings into that thing. Man, it's a monster of a record. And even though I acted surprised when you said you own it on vinyl, it's coming on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's getting delivered on Wednesday. I ordered it real quick. But yeah, I'm stoked on this. Like, thank you for bringing this one to me. It's super good.
And this was kind of like an on the spot one where I was just like, oh yeah, all right, that one. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I love this record. I've always loved this record.
I do too.
But even my like even my friends who I kind of know what they listen to and we like the similar things, sometimes Ringworm wouldn't do it for him. Like it's that really? It's the lyrics, it's the vocals that they really just can't get around it sometimes. But I love it.
I love it too. Human Furnace is just great.
There's definitely a lot of it's essentially a hardcore metal vocal collab, but yeah. There's like that black metal delivery with it also. Do you think if you never got into black metal, this would still be something that you'd be into?
Maybe not.
Because there is the harshness of some of the vocals lend itself to Human Furnace's vocals don't sound like a lot of vocals I've heard. It's
no,
very interesting. They're
pretty singular. But yeah, I think getting into the different extreme metals that I have in the most recent years, it definitely helps, I think.
So are you going to venture into their discography?
Yeah, I plan on it. I was going to, after first listen of this record, I was like, oh man, I want to hear if they sound like this throughout their whole career. But I held back.
So. For me personally, I think this is a high bar, and I don't think their newest record I really enjoyed. I don't recall what I rated it. Let us know, Scott. I look forward to your Ringworm being your record of the week in future weeks. But as of now, Scott, this wasn't all you listened to. What's your record of the week for this week?
My record of the week is kind of a surprise. It's the latest Alkaline Trio record, Blood, Hair, and Eyeballs. Okay. I know when we first listened to it, you and I both were like, oh, this might not be it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a huge fan when it first came out. Over the weeks since, I have listened to it over and over and over and over and over again. And I really enjoyed a lot. I know, oh man, what was it? The first single that came out was Matt Skiba saying motherfucker a lot. And I was like, oh my God, he sounds like a high school teenage boy. This is just like a song he wrote for Blink or something. But in the context of the record, it just fits better. So when I listen to it all the way through, man, I really do love this record a lot. I think it's really good. It kind of harkens back to older records that I enjoyed more than the last couple. So yeah, I really like it.
My record of the week is Mountains of Sorrow, Rivers of Song by Amos Lee.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. Wasn't expecting what came from it.
Sure. Is Amos Lee that country guy that you're going to bring me eventually?
No, different guy. I don't know different guy I'm bringing you at some point. I don't know what you're referring to, but no, Amos Lee, he's just like a singer songwriter, folk rock, soul stuff.
Okay.
From Philly.
All right.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It impressed me. I wasn't expecting it. It was on my alphabetical list. So I'm just
The same as Lee record.
There's one track on the record that really hit home. It was all about like, I'm sorry, I overthink. I don't want to be a burden to you. And I was like, holy fuck.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Holy shit.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
That's right in there for me. That's right in there for me. It's a closer. Burden is what it is.
Oh, okay.
I never meant to be a burden. Oh, I just worry more than I'd like to. I never meant to be a burden. Please forgive me if I wait on you. Like, holy shit. That's me through and through to a T. And like, it's kind of just the whole way through. Like, forgive if I've weighed upon your back. It's so heavy already without me. Go ahead into the abyss and find my own way out of this so you can walk ahead more easily. It's just, really good. It's really good shit. And I'm looking at the record now on Wikipedia, and it says it's folk and neo soul.
Okay, interesting.
I liked it. It came out in 2013. It sounds older, so good for him. 10 years, 10-year-old, 11-year-old record. All right, Scott. So took care of all that.
Yeah.
Draft week next week, correct?
Draft week. Yeah.
And we've had a lot of. Well, we had back to back Scott Uary drafts, with punk bands, and it's Have we done a hip-hop draft at all?
We have not done a hip-hop draft yet. No.
So our first hip-hop draft.
Yeah.
And what better place to announce that than on the Ringworm episode? We will be drafting the discography of Boldy James.
Yeah.
And we are both huge fans of Boldy James. I already know.
Very true.
I already know three records that are going to be a fight to get for both of us.
I was thinking about it just yesterday because I told Emily, I was like, next week is our first hip hop draft episode. And she's like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah. And there's like three or four records that I'm like, it's going to be a brutal fight.
Mm-hmm.
The first one for sure. So yeah, it's going to come down to rock, paper, scissors.
First pick's big, but I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like there is like a door prize for second pick. Like if you don't get this one, you get this one, but that's for the other.
I kind of feel that about the first, it's going to be the first four. Like yeah. how I said in our all draft where the first four picks were going to be the Chad Price records. We're going to bounce back and forth. It's going to be like that. I think for the Boldy, there's four that stand out to me that I think we're going to bounce back and forth for the first four picks.
And you're of course taking Versace Tape first pick. Got it. So
yeah, of course. You might want to, you might want to snatch that one up quick.
So Boldy James draft next week.
Yeah. I'm stoked. Thanks for bringing Ringworm to my attention.
Let me and the listener know how you feel about the rest of their discography.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to it this week in between Boldy records to cut up which record starts and stops where.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more necessary to split up the records, like rather than listening to them straight through. It's going to be more imperative to be like, oh, this is the start and stop of this record. Okay, I need a break.
It's because he came out with records like four in one year, three in another year. Like it's also, his discography is also compressed into like a handful of years.
Yeah, have you ever listened to his first, My First Chemistry set?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and he's just the smoothest dude alive. So
yeah, it's true.
You have to separate that up too. All right. Follow us on Twitter, X, whatever, at AOLpod, Instagram at AOLpod. Send us an email at areyoulistening.pod@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Scott, thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the episode. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
Listeners, thank you for listening. Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I was like, wow, Game really likes Stove God. Sick. And then I was like, wait, that's LeBron. I'm all about Flash, but I like the dirty.
Grammy Award winner, folks. Grammy Award winner, Macklemore.